It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Lamar sends Tylan Wallace wide to the left, Aguilar to the right. Jackson in the gun. He wants to throw on third down. Quick release, and it's complete. Tylan Wallace breaks a tackle. He's at the 30. Stiff arms a man. 35-40. Midfield down the sideline in play. 30, 20, 10. Touchdown, Ravens. Tylan Wallace.
Thank you to Ravens Radio. This was a wild one. The Ravens were trailing 21-7 in the third quarter, Perloff. They end up winning a shootout 35-34 with 34 combined points scored just in the fourth quarter alone. The biggest, most controversial plays of the game, of the evening, were the Bengals coming down to score in the final minute of the game and getting the touchdown. They attempt a two-point conversion. Mm-hmm. It falls short. However, multiple missed penalties on that two-point conversion. A face mask, two defensive holds that they could have and should have called. That didn't happen. The onside kick attempt didn't work, and the Ravens escape.
You know, the Bengals' fault in this game is that they had a chance in the first half to really put the game away, in a sense, because they were somehow slowing down Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. But I think it was hard. I think we're not giving Joe Burrow enough credit for what he did last night. He was under so much pressure, didn't have his left tackle, basically lined up three tight ends and Ja'Marr Chase on every down, was keeping plays alive. I just felt like there were little opportunities where the Bengals had a chance to put the game away, Maggie, and they couldn't do it.
No, they couldn't do it, and that's partially on the offense and on the defense. More, I would put more of it on the defense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was 35-34. You certainly can't come away blaming the offense.
No, but they held the Ravens to 7 points, like, you know, midway through the third quarter, and it was just really a bad turnover. So I guess you can blame that on the offense for the Bengals. Yeah. It was a bad turnover, a fumble that ended up leading to a Ravens touchdown, and then it was just off to the races. You felt like whoever had the ball last was going to win. The Bengals did have the ball, and again, they did go for the two-point conversion, and it didn't happen. I like them going for the two-point conversion, though. I'm not going to get on Zach Taylor for that. We'll get on him for other things, other play calls throughout the night, but not that.
His fourth down and short calls were hot garbage all night long.
Yep.
I mean, really, I think he was bailed out on one by a penalty. Just generally,
bailed
just
out on two because of penalty.
Just get a first down, dude. You don't have to throw it 50 yards. And I blame Burrow, too, because Burrow made some reads on fourth down that were just stupid.
Can I give you a real big example of one? So you're in the game. You're up 21-20. And that's only because Justin Tucker had missed an extra point, which is very rare. You're at a third and three. You go deep incomplete to Ja'Marr Chase. Then you're, a third and two. Then you're at fourth and two. And again, another deep pass, this time to Jermaine Burton. You got to get 2 yards. You know, why are you going for everything? And I think because the Bengals had actually been bailed out a little bit with some calls on fourth downs, especially their opening drive where they get bailed out on, I thought, a questionable holding call that set them up basically first and goal at the two. I think they thought they were getting the flag there, and they were not. Instead, just try to get 2 yards. Don't go for everything on a fourth and two.
Yeah.
And then what happens? 7 plays later, the Ravens score, and now they're up 28-21.
Yep.
And now you're playing catch-up.
Story of the year for the Bengals. Missed opportunities, ill-timed mistakes. I guess that comes on the coach. It certainly doesn't come on Joe Burrow. That guy's done everything he can. I think they're going to miss the playoffs and be one of those teams like, oh man, this was a missed opportunity, because they're going to be one of the best non-playoff teams we've seen in a long time. Usually when you have a quarterback who's playing as well as Joe Burrow, you make the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's somewhat healthy. I mean, he and Lamar both got a little banged up in the game last night, but without his left tackle, you know, we talked about, is he tough, but he's not durable, like the difference there. Well, he'll gut it out if he can, but he's also missed a lot of time with injuries. You don't have your left tackle. You're in some third and long situations. It's tough.
Right, and the Ravens hadn't had any pass rush all season long. All of a sudden, got going last night. You know what hurt the Ravens?
What's that?
When Kyle Hamilton went out. I mean, he is a one-man show on defense, their safety. Here's a good question for you. We talked about this, EJ and I, before the show. Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels compared him to Troy Polamalu as a do-it-all safety who is the key. You know, when your safety is your defensive player of the year candidate, it says something about your defense. I don't know if it reminds me of Troy Polamalu. You and I have seen Troy Polamalu live. He's like a Tasmanian devil. Kyle Hamilton seems a more refined player than Troy Polamalu in a way.
Yeah, I guess so. They're not the same size either, right?
Well, Troy Polamalu was big.
Was he 6'4"?
No, but he was not tiny. I mean,
I guess when I think about Troy Polamalu, the images for me is just him around the line of scrimmage is where he end up being, like, you know, just doing a lot of damage close to the line of scrimmage. Also in coverage, it's both. I don't think of Kyle Hamilton as someone who's ever around the line of scrimmage.
Oh, last night he made a huge play. He snuck up and stopped a run. You know, he lines up everywhere. Yeah. I think he's more Ed Reed in the sense that, like, you don't know where he's going to be at any given point. I think it's funny. I think of Polamalu as a hitter. Like, you're right. He's only
5'10". And I think of Ed Reed as a hitter.
Oh, really? Ed Reed is a hitter.
I mean, Polamalu is brutal, but yeah, I think of Ed Reed as being, well, I think Ed Reed might be the greatest safety of all time.
But he's more of a cover guy. Like, I don't think of him. I think he's the all-time leader safety in interceptions. Like, he was just a ball hawk. Sean Taylor was a hitter. Yeah. Troy Polamalu was a hitter. My guy, Brian Dawkins, was all he did was hit. Yeah. Like, but it's interesting. We don't talk about safeties ever, but Kyle Hamilton just pops off the screen. He gets hurt, and all of a sudden, the Ravens can't stop anybody.
Yeah, I mean, they also have Marlon Humphreys, though, who is also super active, and he was able to make some plays last night, too. Yeah. But here's the thing about the Ravens. Their secondary, you know, blow smoke on Kyle Hamilton. He's totally worth it, but their secondary is not that good.
Terrible. And Humphreys hurt all the time this year, too.
Their rush defense is really good, but the secondary has not been good. So you'd expect a guy like Joe Burrow to have a really good game against them, because if anyone could exploit a secondary, it'd be Joe.
He
did.
Maybe their rush defense is good, because you don't really need to run the ball when you just threw a 63-yard touchdown. So it could be a complimentary football. Yeah, okay. But the Ravens do have an answer for all of that, and his name is Lamar Jackson. Isn't it bizarre? I was just looking this morning at his Pro Football Focus grade, the analytics site that measures everything. He is challenging for the greatest season ever, which actually Aaron Rodgers owns their highest PFF grade. Like, he is as close to perfect right now as we've seen a quarterback in a long time. Like, he was a little slow in the first half, but he didn't really have the ball in his hands. Once he got rolling, like, show me a mistake. He's not turning the ball over.
And he just is keeping the plays alive. I mean, how many times did the Bengals think they had him? And everyone in the league, you always think you have him, and then you don't. And he's making something happen, and he's not even 100% healthy. Last night he may have, I know it's early, it's only week 10, but he may have wrapped up the MVP last night. And if he was competing with Derrick Henry, it's not really a competition now. I think that Lamar has put some distance between himself and Henry for MVP. Offensive player of the year, maybe that's different for Henry.
Well, I think the only guy who can chase him is your guy, Josh Allen, who does some similar things. He's hard to bring down. He's kind of slippery.
Yeah.
If the Bills run out the table, maybe he gets back into the picture. Right now, they came into last night's game almost tied in odds for MVP. So I think they want to give it to someone new. They don't want to give it to Lamar every year.
No, but
it's like Michael Jordan. They didn't want to give it to Michael Jordan every year. There's something in variety. I wouldn't count out Josh Allen.
You're going to give it to Goff. You're really going to give it to Jared Goff. I mean, Josh Allen.
No, it's going to be Allen.
But they still have to play the 49ers. They still have to play the Chiefs. And they still have to play the Lions.
But there's a narrative.
It's a lot of tough games coming up for the Bills.
There's a narrative where the Bills have no receivers and Allen save them. So if the Bills go on a crazy run, I'm telling you, like,
the Ravens blew out the Bills.
But that was a long time ago. No, I don't think so. I think Allen's the only one who has a chance. Because the other one who would have a chance, if Burrow had won last night, he would have had a great chance. But unfortunately, you can't give MVP to a guy who's not in the playoffs.
So I think that there's a couple interesting things coming off this game. One, will the Bengals make the playoffs? Two, are the Bengals a good team? Which we've been wrestling with this morning, and we've got that poll up for you on X. They've got a great quarterback. They've got a great receiver. But are they a great team? Because they find ways to lose games.
I think they are a great team. I think they're a really good team. See, picture that team last night if you had instead of throwing to, what was the guy's name, Garth Hudson or something?
Tanner Hudson.
Imagine
Garth
if all
Hudson?
Those.
Garth Hudson? Where'd you come up with that?
He's the keyboardist in the band, The Band.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he's a famous musician. Anyway, Tanner Hudson. What
by
if you
the
had,
way, snuck under center to do a quarterback sneak, which told you a little, I think, about Burrow and where they
want
to protect him.
All those targets were T. Higgins. Can you imagine, like, the difference between, like, T. Higgins after the catch is not an easy tackle.
Do you think if T. Higgins had a contract, he would have played last night?
I don't know. A quad injury sounds like an NBA load management injury. No,
tendonitis.
I mean, it can't be that. It can't be the contract.
No, I mean, everyone had to be all hands on deck last night, although Orlando Brown wasn't there and T. Higgins wasn't there. So, yeah, I'm not going to question their injuries. I'm just saying, we're talking about this being a potentially disappointing, very disappointing season for the Bengals,
right,
and how much do they all have to own it and wear it?
Yeah,
because if you are going to re-sign T. Higgins, then it was stupid to play this game with him to put him on the franchise tag.
Well, I'm just saying, if you ask, are they a great team, you have to add them in and judge them by the end of the season, assuming everybody can be there healthy. That could be a great team. I think that would be a really great team. If they made the playoffs and Higgins was on the field, like, yeah, they're really, really dangerous.
I don't think they are a really great team. I think they've got a really great quarterback, and we're used to have, if you have a really great quarterback, you have a great team. Yeah. But I think this is one of those where you got to actually parse it out a little bit more. Yeah. Because I think if you're a really great team, you know, you're not getting smoked by your Eagles at home.
Don't know what happened there. Honestly, don't. Well, I don't think they're really great against the run, and that was a problem.
Okay. I get that.
I hear you, but.
And I get that they're in these games against the Chiefs and against the Ravens. First of all, division games. So, like, you probably should be in these games. And I get you're going to play really hard and play well against the Chiefs because Lou Anarumo just has, like, some kind of secret elixir that can stop Patrick Mahomes and no one else has it. But they still lost that game. And I don't know if I trust them.
That I agree with. But I still think, like, if they're in a playoff game, the odds of them not being in the game are slim because, honestly, they're very hard to stop.
Here's
and then
the
they
part.
Have some defensive players who do, so they have some stars on defense.
Oh, believe me, as a Bills fan, yeah. Cam Taylor-Britt lives in my head rent-free.
He's playing fantastic.
I get it. Yeah. I understand. Very intimately familiar with these guys. But I just don't know if I trust them. And here's the other thing. I know we're into week 10, but you can't just start the season off like you're in a coma.
But they did
it
before. It
worked for Belichick, and it's maybe worked before, but now you messed around and found out. Because now you're going to be fighting to try to get into the wild card, and you've given yourself no shot at the division, and now you're playing this wild game of catch-up. It's not a way to live. Not if you're a great team.
Yeah, but it worked before, though. So how do you explain that?
Well, I think to explain that, though, is now the problems, just like last season where you started off terrible and you didn't make the playoffs, you give yourself no margin for error because you start off terrible, then you win three in a row, but then Joe Burrow gets hurt.
Right.
So all those early losses cost you a playoff spot last year.
Who cares? It would have been Jake Browning in the playoffs.
But it might cost you this year.
Right. Now this year, same thing. You mess around and find out, as Maggie said, and now T. Higgins is hurt. Now you're trying to play catch up. Like, that's the problem with losing these early games and saying, well, we can just get it back. It's an NFL season. Guys get banged up. Guys get hurt. You're putting yourself behind the eight ball. I think the last two seasons we've seen the fruits of that.
Yeah, you say that, but in 2022, they started out 0-2 and went 12-4 and got one play away from going to the Super Bowl. The year before that, they lost an early season game that they shouldn't have and were 10-7 and made the Super Bowl. So I understand what you're saying, but history proves you're wrong. They can go 0-2 and make the Super Bowl or at least make the AFC title game because they've done it.
But here's the thing. This is the other reason why I think I'm disappointed if I'm a Bengals fan. You had a 9-8 season last year, so you get a fourth place schedule and you've got your healthy quarterback. This is when you do have to take advantage of those teams. Like, you are getting gifts here from the schedule. The fact that you open at home against the Patriots, the fact that you're getting the Panthers and you're getting the Giants and you're going to get the Raiders and these last place teams. Don't waste those opportunities.
Well, one of those last place teams, Washington, turned out to be really good. But besides, I think
that game was at home.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Burrow.
You should have won that game.
Burrow is never going to have a real preseason. That's part of the problem because the guy's hurt all the time. So that's obviously an issue. Like, yeah, you could say play Joe Burrow in the preseason. Are you really going to do that?
Not coming off of this injury this year with the shoulder.
Or whatever. I mean, it's going to be another injury next year. And they have this contract situation. They don't pay anybody. So they're designed to start off poor because they never have their quarterback in preseason. I think everyone started to realize that, too, with Aaron Rodgers as well. Like, you might want to start playing your veteran quarterbacks in preseason because everyone who doesn't is starting out slow.
Yeah.
So, but Burrow is hurt. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, not now.
Well,
He got banged up a little bit last night. But
yeah,
he was
banged up a little bit. I think he started crying at one point. He was in so much pain. There were about four hits where he looked like he was in real trouble.
I think a question for people to ponder now about Zach Taylor, the head coach, and whether or not someone's going to pay for this season being underwhelming, and if it may be him. Fair, unfair. 855-212-4227. Now, I don't have a great replacement for you right now. It's not like, oh, Belichick comes in. I don't think they would do that. But
you're telling me a guy who's taking the Cincinnati Bengals of all franchises to a Super Bowl and an AFC title game within the last 5 years is going to get fired.
Well, they're going to say, listen, we got basically the same team outside of Jesse Bates, I guess, and he's awesome. But we basically have the same team. So
I miss it. Was T. Higgins out there? How is this the same team?
Okay, but here's the thing, Perloff. If it's your one wide receiver, when, by the way, he's not even your number one wide receiver, that can't sink the season.
And Joe Mixon, I'm sorry, I didn't see him catching any screen passes last night. They don't have the same team. They have a skeleton crew out there.
Listen, Joe Mixon was hurt last year, right? Is he coming off an injury?
Well, he's hurt now. He just came back from an ankle injury.
But I mean, like, listen,
by the way, so your second receiver and your running back, that can't sink your season when you have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. It can't.
Second receiver. I mean, don't talk about T.A. T.A. is about to get $30 million a year and deserve it because that guy is the man. They are designed to be this high-octane, wide-receiver, dominant team. And they're not really out there right now.
I know, but I don't think people want to hear that excuse when it comes to the Bengals.
I think you're moving the bar on this team. Like, you're telling me if any other team loses, like, look at with the Niners without Ayuk. What if, look at give me a great team. If you lose one of your great players, you're in trouble. Like, they've been injury prone.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a good enough excuse. I would say if you want to give me left tackle, I would take that more over second receiver, even as much as I respect T. Higgins.
Yeah.
I don't.
Good enough excuse. They lost to the two best teams in the NFL, arguably. Maybe two of the top three because the Lions are in there. But
and they lost to one of the worst. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm curious what the audience thinks. I think when you have Burrow and he's healthy, the excuses kind of go out the window. But 855-212-4227. It was a wild one last night. So week 10 is off to a gangbuster start. We also have phenomenal college football matchups this weekend as well, including some coaching news yesterday. The domino effect could be something to watch. We'll get to all of that next.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi? Learn more at Depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. My Super Bowl picks in trouble, Maggie. 4-6 Cincinnati Bengals. Still as dangerous as ever. Can't play any defense to save their life, which I like. At least they're super fun when they get involved in the game. Last night was a great Thursday night game. Al Michaels, his energy was a little better.
Yeah, listen, I give Kirk Herbstreit a pass. Unfortunately, his dog just passed away. So he's obviously grieving last night.
Well, I mean, like, you know, my take with Herbie is like, oh, Tywan Wallace with a big, big touchdown. I remember when I interviewed him as a sophomore at Oklahoma State. Yeah. Like,
it's always about the college stuff.
It seems like his fastball is college stuff, obviously, because he's the number one college football analyst in the country. Why he's doing NFL, no one's figured out yet. But, yeah, lost his dog. That was sad.
Yeah. We are asking you about the Bengals, and are you giving them excuses for why they are hanging on for dear life in terms of making the playoffs? D is in Portland. D, good morning.
Good morning, Maggie Perloff. I agree with Maggie. Perloff, you're wrong. Cincinnati Bengals, they live off the Super Bowl reputation, and I get it. They have a great quarterback, but you keep saying how they don't have T. Higgins and, you know, their left tackle, I think, or right tackle.
Yeah.
Eagles made the Super Bowl, and we keep losing players. Smith, A.J. Brown, Lane Johnson, we keep winning.
No. They win when Lane Johnson and A.J. Brown come back. They don't win when they're not there. They haven't won a single game their whole life without Lane Johnson.
Devontae Smith was out like a couple games, I think 2 weeks ago, and we won that. So it's like Cincinnati, I think, in my opinion, they're overrated, and they keep living off that Super Bowl. At one point, it's like you're either going to start fast and win games at the beginning or not. But we got to stop talking about they're going to make the Super Bowl. They are what they are. Like, it is what it is. good show as always. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you. You know, it's just funny, I guess, and every team is different because guys play different roles. I guess because I've gotten so used to watching the NFL my whole life, there are sometimes I'm forgiving injuries and sometimes I'm saying you've got to be able to overcome them. Last year with the Cincinnati Bengals having to start Jake Browning, no one ever thought, wow, this team's wildly underachieving. No, because you lost your quarterback. And
right.
I think when you have a healthy quarterback and you have your best weapon and you can fill in with other guys, I know they lost their running back, but they did make a trade for Herbert. That was, we're going to see. It's a little harder for me to make excuses, I guess.
When your number two target is Tanner Hudson, where did Tanner Hudson go to college?
Like Wisconsin, but I don't know.
Who is Tanner Hudson? I think they found this guy off the street and lined him up every play. Apparently, he's a world champion, by the way. He was on the 2020 Bucks. I learned that last night on the practice squad or something. And by the way, you're awesome. I love an Eagles fan out west, but the Eagles are terrible without Lane Johnson. Their record is awful when their star tackle doesn't play.
Tanner Hudson went to Arkansas and Memphis and Southern Arkansas.
That was way off.
There you go.
Charlie is in Vancouver, Washington. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, first I want to just hack on Perloff just a little bit, and then I want to give you guys the best elevator movie pitch in sports history.
Great.
Perloff. How many guys on the Bengals defense are hurt right now?
Like, not enough.
Is Reggie White hurt? Is LT hurt? Because if they're not, dude, when's the last time a really, really good team didn't have a defense except for your high school basketball team? I got some video of that, and it was like watching Indiana women's basketball, where in the 70s you had to have three people on one side of the court and two on the other. Perloff would just hang on the other side of the basket waiting for the ball on the offensive end. I couldn't believe it. It was awesome.
Charlie, I know that video does exist because it would have been me on the bench is what your video would have been. But wait, to be fair, though, the Ravens' defense is just as bad. So are you going to say that they're a great team?
I would say historically, don't you think the Ravens' defense is a lot better, and maybe they're just slumping just a little bit? The league's maybe starting to figure out a little bit. I think they'll make, especially with Harbaugh as a coach, I think they'll make adjustments.
Well, maybe. I think the similar question is the Ravens' defense so bad that's going to cost them the Super Bowl? Because I agree, the Bengals' defense is terrible.
No, if it ends up being like Ravens-Lions in the Super Bowl.
Ah, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be
great. What's the movie pitch?
Okay, so it's called Penalty. And it's set at like Manchester United versus Manchester. It's all one day. And the scene is you're walking out of the tunnel with the referees and the players. You know how they do that with the little kids? One of the little kids hands the referee a note. It says, if you don't call a penalty kick between the 45th and 50th minute, your two-year-old grandson will be shot. We have him. Do not change anything that goes on now. Do not look up. Do not talk to anyone or he will be deceased. Now, the twist in the plot, and I'm only going to give you one because I want to, Sandler, I hope you're listening to this. You'd be the great official. Is that the son of the referee is behind the kidnapping because he's in gambling debt with DraftKings or a buddy of DraftKings, and he got $100,000. And the only way out is to be able to do something like this because his dad is a famous official. Perloff, do you want my number?
Slow clap. My heart is racing.
Honestly, you should not. Charlie, you should not have put that over the air because that's going to get stolen by Hollywood tomorrow. That being said, we know there's no funny business when it comes to your prize picks.
No.
Yeah, we can't have a sponsor
going
involved.
Back and looking at the history of all the scandals that have happened that we don't even know about in European history. I mean, it's some bad stuff.
Charlie, can I give you one small tweak on this?
Sure.
Because I think it's beautiful, flawless. I actually have zero notes. Can we make it the World Cup final?
Great call. Wait. I was just thinking, you know, one way, but yeah, let's go real tough on it. I love it.
Wait,
another twist is VAR turns over his first call.
Wait, Charlie, why is it a little kid handing him the note?
Because they
a,
walk out.
I know, but that's the creepiest part. Like this little kid.
Well, that adds an element.
Anybody else would be really suspicious, you know? Some guy walking up to him and handing him a piece, you know what
right.
I mean?
You Nobody never see the kid coming. Up.
The kid is not the mastermind of the whole thing, like Baby Boss or something like that.
No. The kid's mom, you know.
The kid's
I love
like,
that, though. That's the ultimate twist.
The kid's actually up to his ears in gambling debts with Vinny the Greek or whatever, Jimmy the Greek. Not Vinny the Greek. That
would make no sense. Charlie, awesome, dude.
Wow, Charlie. I want to watch this movie now. Bravo.
Maggie. I'm serious. I got a lot written down. I got a lot of time on my mind. I got a lot in my hands now. I'm a retired, almost retired sports high school coach and educator. I got this down.
Wait, can we make a cross-country connection here? Number. We've got Charlie in Vancouver, Washington. We also have someone who calls us from Maine whose brother-in-law is Mark Duplass. We could do this. Mm. He said that on the air, by the way. One of the Duplass brothers who could easily do this movie and be cast in this movie, too. Mark Duplass could be one of the guys. He could be the ref.
Definitely. I like it.
Charlie.
That's awesome, hey. Charlie.
By the power of our microphones, we'll try to make this happen.
All right. I love it.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you. I want to watch that movie. Is Liam Neeson going to show up?
This has a Liam Neeson vibe. That is such a good point.
He can't be the ref, though. I think he's a little too old.
Yeah.
Well, he's certainly too old to be the person
he could be the perpetrating. He could be the manager.
He could be one of the...
Of the soccer
team. Of the soccer team, yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. You know, he's got a particular set of soccer skills.
Right. Liam Neeson as Jose Mourinho.
He's got range. I love this.
This is a good plot. You know, we haven't had a good sports thriller, really, had a long time. I remember there was the one where Damon Wayans was in and Bruce Willis in a movie where they shot a Pittsburgh Steelers player on the field.
It's called The Last Boy Scout, and it's a masterpiece.
Yeah. And then there's do you guys ever see the one where the blimp goes over the Super Bowl and they drop the darts? Black Sunday?
I've heard of that movie, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
And then what's the one with like Jean-Claude Van Damme at a hockey game? There's like something about
that sounds like it went straight to Netflix.
No. This is pre-internet.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds amazing. You didn't tell me JCV was at a hockey game. I'm all over this.
Yeah, sudden death. Sudden death. There you go.
There's actually a soccer movie that it's a...
Bend it like Beckham?
No. This could be... It sounds so like Ivy League nerdy. But
kicking
there's
and screaming.
You guys know who Wim Wenders is? I think it's Wim Wenders. Anyway, it's a German arts film. It's called The Anxiety of a Goal Kicker, where he's in the World Cup, and he's about to face the last penalty kick, and he just walks off and wanders away and eventually kills himself.
Oh, my God.
It's called The Anxiety of a Goal Kicker. Yeah, it's similar to Charlie's plot.
Charlie's plot is like a walk in the roses compared to that.
It's a rom-com.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
But the point is, like, European soccer is so intense, I couldn't handle it. That's why that is the perfect sport for this. Because can you imagine what rides on that game?
I love it.
Your World Cup twist was perfect. Yep. Can we, like, all claim credit for this?
No. It's not our idea. It is.
And he should not, as you said, he should not have said that out loud.
Well, yeah. Maggie just handed it to the Duplass brothers on a platter.
I thought I was doing the right thing there. He doesn't know anyone in Hollywood, it seems like. Maybe we can introduce him to somebody. Well, you know people in Hollywood, Prof. You want to call the Sandman about this one?
Yeah, like Sandman's really taking my calls. It'd be like...
You might need a reporter number two.
Okay, Andy, here's what we're going to do.
Gosh,
you could be the VAR guy in this movie.
Here's what we're going to do.
The analytics dude.
Like, turns out the official is really a comic duo with Jennifer Aniston.
Which role for Steve Buscemi?
He's like,
somehow it's set in Hawaii. We're not
DP,
sure.
Yeah. DP is going to be the commissioner. And then
Rob Schneider as Ronaldo.
Yeah. Andrew,
you got to see this Anthony Edwards kid play. It's the most amazing thing I ever saw.
Yeah.
So do you think that Sandler could be the ref, though?
Like an Uncut Gems kind of thing? Ooh.
Or maybe Sandler is the father. Remember Charlie's twist is that they say the grandson's going to be kidnapped and killed if you don't call a penalty kick in this crucial part of the game. This is his sports thriller. Do you think Sandler could be the dad who's in gambling debt like Uncut Gems?
I guess so. Or it could go a different direction where it could be a former hockey player turned golfer taking on Shooter McGavin. See, that's Gilmore more of the energy. Yeah, they are shooting Happy Gilmore 2 right now. Apparently Travis Kelce plays a key role in this movie. Yeah, I feel like take this and go Happy Gilmore it up. You know.
I know they did a casting call.
Yeah, like, yeah.
15 minutes from my house.
Oh, was that near you? Oh, you should get in that bad boy. Now that I'm not on the Dan Patrick Show, by the way, it's funny, Sandler's not picking up my calls.
Well, he's only made 16 movies since then.
Yeah.
Weird.
I'm sure, Dan's been in 22 Sandler films, and this is not kissing Dan's butt. He's awesome at all.
No, he's
so funny in like a 2-minute cameo. It's like, wait. And you barely even notice it. Anyway.
Were you guys ever in a movie as yourselves, basically?
No,
like,
no.
As a radio
Dan
show
has
crew?
Been. Dan has been. I have not.
Okay.
Dan's been, he was in Basketball as Dan Patrick, the comedy movie from the South Park guys.
Right. But a Sandler movie, you've always been somebody. You've never been
in four, and yes, I mean, I had to go method. I was guy walking across a parking lot.
Right. So you stayed in character all day for the entire
Yeah. I walked across the parking lot, and it was a drone shot, and you could barely tell it was me.
But you still get residuals, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The week of. That's the only movie I get residuals from. Chris Rock. And then the second time this week we've done my movie career, I was a White House correspondent in Pixels.
Okay.
You might not have noticed me. You have to freeze the frame. I'm in the back.
I'd have to watch it in the first place.
Pixels is on Netflix right now, yeah.
Is it?
It's not animated? Pixels?
No, Pixels is a Sandler movie where basically Pac-Man comes to life.
Well, I remember this.
How did I miss that one?
Yeah.
It Pac-Man comes with and weed. Donkey Kong. Like aliens find out about us via video games from the 80s and create these video game monsters. So Pac-Man comes down and eats a bunch of people.
Wait, Bogus, you just stumbled on $1 million
this
idea.
This happened.
Wait, hold on.
It made $80 million.
Oh, I know. I'm sure. In the first weekend. You just stumbled on a great idea. Do you guys remember when we were kids, not Manny so much or EJ, but when we were kids, they would give out 3D glasses sometimes for certain movies.
That still happens.
One time for the Super Bowl. Yeah, I guess Avatar, you got
yeah, yeah, anyway, no, anyway.
This was like a big thing, especially for the Super Bowl halftime show once when we were kids. They gave out 3D glasses. You could buy them at the store if you bought like a Pepsi and Doritos or something.
Huh, I don't remember that.
You just had a great idea.
Just have a joint.
You just give the gummy out with the ticket.
As you're walking in.
And it's like Pixels? Only for people over 18 or NC-17 or whatever these. And it's like, here's your ticket and here's your gummy. And like, enjoy your magic carpet ride while you watch Pixels.
Enjoy Pac-Man coming through the screen.
You know, they tried like smell-o-vision. Like you could smell things. At this point, I mean.
Well, they do now have the ones. What do they call it? They call it 4D, where like the seat moves and the. Right. They, like, shoot mist at you if there's, like, water in the scene. So
we're trying to get people back to the movie theater, guys. Yeah. I don't see you guys coming up with any good
ideas.
No,
this is a good idea. This is far better than Death Ring match, whatever you had the other day before football games.
Well, I'm still tweaking that one.
I mean, Pixels is pretty much close to the perfect movie. Kevin James played the president. The last line of the plot summary, 1 year later, Ludlow and Lisa are married and have Kubert-like children.
Wait. Yeah, how did I miss that one?
He married an alien, and their kids come out like Q-Bert. I don't know if you guys remember Q-Bert, the game.
What Cinema. Were they on when they made this?
He had to beat Donkey Kong, an actual Donkey Kong, who was throwing barrels at him. It happens. It's realistic.
Based on a true story.
You know, people will believe anything these days. Be careful with that.
Actually, it's a pretty fun little movie. We'll get this plot. To Sandler. He would like that. I mean, it has
Charlie just gave us from Vancouver.
Yeah, it combines hustle and Uncut Gems. It's got an Uncut Gems vibe for sure. This would be really cool.
He's got to finish that screenplay.
Yep.
We want to watch this movie in the year 2032. No, I'm just kidding. It takes a long time for movies to get made, but they should push this one to the front of the list.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you know Brian Cox from Succession played a key role as Admiral James Porter in Pixels? Like his whole career.
You remember what Sandler did to Al Pacino?
Oh, which one was that? Yes.
But he had him in this silly Dunkin' Donuts commercial, and Al Pacino, people think this is like a real commercial he did, but it was for a Sandler movie, and he looks so, or was it a Ben Stiller movie? No, Sandler movie, and it looks so silly.
Wait, what? I don't know this one.
I gotta look it up.
No, Sandler, yeah, you gotta, it's either a silly Sandler movie, or now it's some serious ones. But, man, we should do that open casting. I would love to be in Happy Gilmore, too. as all of us are, huge Happy Gilmore fan.
Obviously.
It's basically a documentary.
yeah. We never got anywhere in that segment. EJ is king for a day, and he has a punishment for Perloff. Is your update sponsored?
It is.
We should get to it.
It's sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MANDP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
MANDP.
Things were going so well for the Bengals in Baltimore on Thursday Night Football.
Fake the handoff. Burrow steps up. Burrow will fire downfield and hits Ja'Marr Chase at the 50. Chase turns it upfield to the 40, 30. Chase going down the right sideline. He's gone. Touchdown. Game wrecker. Ja'Marr Chase takes it the distance.
That's Ian Eagle on Westwood One. The Bengals taking a 21-7 third quarter lead on that 67-yard catch and run from Chase. And then, maybe on their way to more points, Marlon Humphrey stripped running back Chase Brown. The Ravens turned that into one Derrick Henry touchdown and then three Lamar Jackson TD throws for a 35-28 lead. That's when Burrow and Chase hooked up for a third time with 38 seconds to go. They went for the go-ahead two-point conversion, didn't get it, and lost 35-34. Burrow, 428 yards, four touchdowns, but lost number six.
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow. But we've had our opportunities. Obviously, you know, it's tough when you feel like you're playing well enough to win and you're not.
Lamar Jackson also threw four touchdowns in this one. His team jumps to 7-3, still trailing the Steelers in the AFC North for now. The bad news for Baltimore, star safety Kyle Hamilton knocked out in the first half by a right ankle injury. Last night was the fourth straight game that Greg Popovich has missed for undisclosed health reasons. The Spurs don't know or won't tell us when he'll be back, so the players just chug along, says Victor Wembanyama.
They keep us informed, you know, as much as we're allowed to know. So, you know, I'm not worried about him. I know he's going to come back soon, but no, I don't. We're not talking to him directly that much.
Wemby, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 blocks, and a 118-105 home win over the Blazers.
Victor Wembanyama.
The Bucks snapped their 6-game skid, 123-100 over the Jazz. Giannis posting 31 and 16 boards. And the T-Wolves left Chicago with a 135-119 W. Anthony Edwards, 33 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. And from the NHL, the New Jersey Devils, who used to be the Colorado Rockies, who were once the Kansas City Scouts, beat the Canadiens last night 5-3. The Hurricanes, formerly the Hartford Whalers, took care of the Penguins 5-1 for an 8-game win streak. And the Dallas Stars, who began as the Minnesota North Stars, down Chicago 3-1. Maggie, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. Coming up, EJ is going to make Perloff pay in a show bet that's getting paid off next. EJ is king for a day. Also, Billy Napier and the domino effect of him staying at Florida. All that and more.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Next. Welcome back, Maggie Gray and Drew Perloff. This was a little surprising yesterday, Pearl, but maybe a smart move. Mm-hmm. The University of Florida gave a vote of confidence to Billy Napier. Now, it's been a disappointing tenure so far for Napier, to be sure. Overall record, 11-14 in his first two seasons, now 4-4 this year. He's only 8-13 in the SEC. You're hired at Florida to win championships. Mm-hmm. They have not even been close, but he has had major quarterback issues. Mm-hmm. Graham Mertz is gone for the year. DJ Lagway was taken out on a cart last week against Georgia. He's now questionable this week against Texas. I do get it.
Mm-hmm.
You have Texas at LSU, Ole Miss, and FSU left. So getting bowl eligible is really going to be a climb here. You're going to have to pull off a major upset against one of these teams to get to six wins.
Right.
So you probably want to get in front of it now and not leave him dangling out there. You're trying to recruit. You're trying to show some stability because the end of the season, quite frankly, is going to probably be a little rough for them.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, why would you want to keep Billy Napier? I'm not sure I totally get it. Like, what's the point? Because I know that he recruited DJ Lagway, but you don't think DJ Lagway is going to go into the portal at some point?
So
get a new NIL deal?
I think the only reason why they really are keeping him in this new era of NIL is that from some estimates that I was reading, they would owe him 85% of his buyout.
Okay.
He still has about $26 million left in salary. So to actually flip, not just paying him out, that would be actually be the second highest buyout, I guess, in the history of football after Jimbo is what I read. If I have to do my own calculating.
That doesn't sound that bad. $26 million?
Okay. So not only that, so you'd have to pay him out 85% of that. And then to get a whole new coaching staff in and pay them, you're looking at maybe a total bill of something around $40 million. And I think they're asking themselves, is that money better spent to try to bring in a new coaching staff? Or should we just go and use that for players?
Definitely new coaching staff. I don't even think it's a debate.
Oh, I disagree.
I look at Tobias like Indiana gave Tom Allen $15.5 million. Indiana football. Who's now elite, but that's besides the point. Like, there are so many, like, smaller schools that have given. This is University of Florida. Scott Frost, who was terrible, got a $15 million buyout. And Nebraska, like, that money does not seem daunting to me at all. Especially now, if you keep talking about we're getting private equity into college football, you got to think, like, that $40 million over the course of the next 10 years is going to disappear like nothing.
See, I don't know. I wonder if you start making these different decisions now, because back when, you know, you're talking about the Indiana coach, like, was there NIL back then? You were counting on free labor, so you could pay all these coaches to cycle in and cycle out, and you could, you know, these crazy buyouts. And I know Jimbo Fisher's buyout happened in the NIL era, but I don't think that's something A&M is proud of. The fact they had to pay their coach $70 million to go away, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, the one that always got Gus Malzahn, who I was not a huge fan of, got $21.5 million from Auburn. I think you got to look big picture. I mean, Florida is now Nebraska. Nebraska used to be elite, no longer. They're what Oklahoma is going to be now. Like, it's kind of sinks. Like, Florida is stuck in that, wow, remember how awesome they used to be, and they can't get it going. And they're not getting it going under Billy Napier. So if they it depends. Do you want to be elite? Do you want to compete for titles? That is not happening the way they're going right now.
855-212-4227. Are the Florida Gators smart to keep Billy Napier? Do you think this is a mistake? We'll also get into the domino effect that this is going to have. Because remember, Florida was that job. Yes, it's not elite, but they pay well. They're in a fertile recruiting ground in Florida, all that. We've already kind of penciled in a few coaches who may have been on the radar for the Florida Gators, but that's now on the back burner. You're welcome to weigh in. Again, 855-212-4227. Is Florida making a mistake sticking with Billy Napier for next year? EJ Stewart, we bow to you. You are king for the day. You won a baseball bet a couple weeks ago, and now you get to tell us all what to do.
Yeah, so we've already taken care of Nico, who had to talk about the NFC East and what they do better than the Giants. As a diehard Giants fan, that was painful for him. We had Bogus every update wearing a lovely Knicks warm-up jacket.
Looks phenomenal.
And now we need to go to Mr. Andrew Perloff.
All right.
So it was very ironic. We were just talking about Florida, the Sunshine State, because they're known for one particular fruit, oranges. And EJ Stewart, the executive producer, it has some, you know, shame in terms of the stuff regarding ordering fresh squeezed orange juices.
It became a thing.
You guys hit me on it.
Tell me what people you want to bet, because you knew where. Who I can't even remember who it was. Darryl Hodge went to college.
I find out where
you earned that. Prairie A&M and
Prairie View A&M.
Prairie View A&M.
You earned that orange juice, by the way. That was a great pull. But go ahead.
So Perloff ordered me breakfast. Part of that breakfast included me ordering a fresh squeezed orange juice, which annoyed Perloff
because it cost $8.
Annoyed America.
It was $6.75, Maggie. Anyway,
I'm sorry. $6.75.
You guys are very great, and you're gracious with giving breakfast to the crew. I think we all appreciate that. And I think this one will be a little bit of a different breakfast. I hope everybody, you don't look quite hydrated. I think everyone maybe should enjoy the fruits of fresh squeezed orange juice. So for Perloff, you'll be ordering the whole team fresh squeezed orange juice.
Is it payday? I hope it's payday.
Here's the big question. Am I sneaking vodka on a Friday? But yeah, I love it, dude.
Put some champagne in that.
I am happy to, you know, because now you got me fired up for fresh squeezed orange juice. Let's do it. Fresh squeezed orange juice for the crew. Let's go.
Yeah. All right.
I'm a gentle
Long
king.
Live the king.
I'm not necessarily this tyrant. I keep my people hydrated.
Can Perloff be cheap here? Trader Joe's has a great deal. It's about three blocks away.
Can you get there and back in a break?
Not me. Can we send somebody? Okay, let's. I'm gonna go online and shop for a reasonable fresh squeezed orange juice because I might have to take a loan to pay for this in New York City. That's fair.
This is a great punishment for Perloff.
That's why you want to
bankrupt him. But
yeah, it's why you want to be king for a day, so you can do awesome stuff like that.
Fresh squeeze orange juice all around. King EJ, it's his world. We're just living in it. What happened last night, Thursday Night Football? It was dramatic. Did the Bengals make the right call, or did they blow their season? We'll tell you next.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.